Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Let's get right into the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God, and just see what He would say to us today. We're going to get in the Scriptures, and then we'll kind of go forward. Today, I call it New Mindset, New Expectations. New Mindset, New Expectations, okay? Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. He had no parents. Moses' assistant saying, he was son of Nun. He either had no parents or his mother was a Catholic nun. Either way, that was a bad habit. If you're not Catholic background, you probably don't even know what a habit is. But anyway, I'll keep moving. Verse 2, it's going to be like this all day. That's great. God says to him this, verse 2. Moses, my servant is dead, God says. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now that word is as appropriate for today as it was thousands of years ago, okay? I want to skip down to verse 8 and 9 from God's Word translation about the Word. Joshua 1:8 from God's Word translation. Never stop reciting these teachings from the Word. You must think about them night and day, so you'll faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble or be afraid, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In essence, love the Lord, love His Word, and don't allow fear, right? Now back to the New King James, Joshua 1:11. God says to him, pass through the camp and command the people. You know, leaders don't always just bring suggestions and run things up the flagpole of public opinion. Leaders lead. God told Joshua, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land. Everybody say, possess the land. Possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Possess the land God is giving you. We've all heard crying babies before. I preach alone. It's okay. I won't be distracted if you don't be distracted. We love our baby boom around here. Last week we dedicated, I don't even know how many children to the Lord. There was a whole bunch of families, and we're so blessed. And then it was noisy in second service a little bit. You know, they tell me. I didn't even pay attention to it. Anyway, possess the land God is giving you. Luke 19, I'm going to weave this in. This is the words of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country, pardon me, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. The word there in the King James is the word occupy. Everybody say occupy. Occupy. Let's pray one more time. Father, would you open the eyes of our heart today? Let your vision be felt, be carried, be seen, and be manifested, Father, in the lives of every person. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme this month is called Taking Care of Business. Last week we looked at the biblical origins of working a job in your chosen field or the place where God places you. We said work was God's idea. It is a gift, not a curse. When you have purpose, when you have a reason to get up in the morning, it is a blessing from the Lord. Like Pastor Chris said about wandering aimlessly without a vision, people without a vision, they cast off restraint. They have no They have no safety lines. They have nothing that holds them, that propels them. Furthermore, we said, as a conquering king in the marketplace, every resource you help provide to grow and expand God's kingdom will change people's lives. It's an investment in eternity. We said, wherever you work, you are there for a reason and a season. A reason and a season. You're there. If you're here this week and you are in a job right now that you don't even like, you don't even know why you're there, it's okay. God has you there for a reason and a season. Don't jump ship till you finish your assignment. Impact the people you're supposed to impact. Find the divine connections. Fulfill your purpose. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, right? Amen. Amen. So as we move forward, our overarching theme, I always look for a word for the year, a thought or a word for the year. And this year, you know, I saw, you know, everybody's got rhyming words, you know. Alive in 25. Thrive in 25. Don't step on a beehive in 25. I mean, you know, it's like finding, you're desperate for a word. The word I got has no rhyme to it. It's simply this word that I received prayerfully from the Lord, and that is the word occupy. Occupy. It's an interesting word. Occupy. So here's our declaration for the year. Here's the thing, the big thought. Occupy. Possess your land. Declare your promises. Claim your inheritance. And influence others. Just to boil it right down to its basic form, occupy. Possess your land, declare your promises, claim your inheritance, and influence others. The Lord spoke to my heart about it's time to take new ground in the Spirit. The love of God doesn't just meander. The love of God invades. Now that may be a strong word for you, but it's the true word. The love of God invades. And when I say that to you, I don't know about your testimony, but I'm telling you that God was working on me for a long time before I ever surrendered. Love was knocking on my heart, and it took a long time. I was raised in the church. I didn't pay attention. I don't think they shared the gospel in the traditional church I was in. My parents said they heard it, but I didn't hear it. I didn't hear Jesus died for your sins. You need to receive him, and you need to ask him into your heart, and you need to be saved. I didn't hear that in my church. It could have been there. I didn't have ears to hear, but for some people, they respond and connect with God there, and that's great. But in a crisis situation at 19 years of age, where my life was in turmoil, I finally cried out, okay, if you're real, I almost flung that thing again. I need to move that back. I've never done that before. I don't know why. It's sticking out like a microphone. I'm just telling you that sometimes you got to get to the, well, you got to get to the end of yourself. You got to get to the end of your trying it your way. And up to that point, I'll be honest with you. I thought being a Christian was about being a good person. That's what I thought it was. So if I could be a good person, that would make me a Christian. And so when I when my girlfriend at that time, my wife now, said to me at 17, are you a Christian? I said, why do you need to know? She said, because I am a Christian. I can only date Christians. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll be whatever you want me to be, baby. You know, it was just, I'm a Christian. And I rationalized quickly in my mind. I go to a Christian church. My parents are Christians. I was christened as a baby, and we live in America, so yep, check, I'm a Christian. But I didn't know the Lord. And that's what being a Christian is about. It's not about a religious trying to be a good person. There's a place of surrender. Love invades. It doesn't just knock on the door of your heart. There were moments where God was just like, come on, come on. And some of you, I would bet that many of you had those moments where you felt God dealing with you and you were still trying to push him away. And then sometimes it really takes you get to the pig pen, like the prodigal son. You got to get to the hog pen of life where you're like, there's got to be something better than this. Joshua 1, God reminds Joshua and says this statement, Moses is dead. Well, newsflash, Joshua stuck closer to Moses than anybody for a long period of time. For decades, Joshua was his right-hand man. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, Joshua, the Bible says, went halfway up and waited there for 40 days. When Moses would go to the tabernacle and the glory of God would come on him, he would leave. Joshua would sleep in the tabernacle. That's what the Bible says. So guarantee you that Joshua knew that Moses was dead. So when God tells you something that you already know, he's not trying to get you to answer him or start a conversation. He's trying to make a point. Moses is dead. The past, as beautiful as it was, the past is over. The old wave hit the beach. It's gone. If you're going to get something, you're going to have to paddle out on your surfboard and get the next wave. And that's what sometimes as believers, we're not great at this. We cry and we stamp and we scream that our old season is over. If it was a good season, we want to just stay in it. That's why you have so many denominations. They started out in a genuine move of the Spirit of God. They start out that way, and then the visionary. Oftentimes, in a denomination, if you read the history of them like I do, it, in the second generation, it gets passed down to an administrator instead of a visionary. And then the administrator starts putting the rules and regulations and everything. Now you got systems and structures and no spirit. And now, so you have a denomination that start out with a genuine. God said, hey, baptize them in water by immersion. Great. But then 100 years later, you got this people, and all they want to do is baptize people in water, and they don't care about the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so what we have is we've got to make sure we're addicted to the right thing. So God said to Joshua, look, Moses is dead. The past season is over. A new mindset is going to be required for where you're headed. You can't think like he thought. Joshua already knew Moses was dead. God's making the point. This wasn't about planning a memorial service for Moses. This was a declaration of a dynamic spiritual shift that God was prophetically announcing, a change in heart, mind, and attitude. That's what it was about. It wasn't about, we're going to sit here and cry because Moses is gone. It was a literal, okay, we're marking that season. Honor Moses, but to honor him, you got to move forward. And you got to move forward with a change in heart, mind, and attitude. Life is full of seasons. Some are more about holding on, and others are more about advancing. Conquering versus maintaining. Moses' leadership was focused on leading people through the wilderness, coping with their mistakes and the results of their bad decision making and their doubt and their fear and their unbelief to the God who told them to go cross over. And so they wandered and waited and maintained the status quo for 40 years. And it became the hallmark of Moses' leadership. And it actually cost him because he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land himself because of a temper tantrum, because he's so frustrated with the people because they kept going backwards or wanting to go backwards. They wandered in circles on what the Bible says should have been an 11-day journey. That's what it says at the very beginning of Deuteronomy. It should have taken them 11 days to get from Egypt to get to the promised land. It turned into 40 years because of disobedience and bad attitude. How many would rather go on the 11-day part? The point is, God didn't choose the season or the amount of time for the season. They did. Suddenly, Joshua, who'd been preparing by serving Moses for 40 years, was thrust into a brand new season where God's leadership was direct and decisive. So I'm going to give you real quickly here. This is Joshua chapter 1 in a nutshell. Hey, I'm in a nutshell. Anyway, so Joshua, just going to give you the whole thing just real quick here because I want to share some other stuff with you. Number one, quit crying about the past. It's over. If it was a bad season, good riddance. If it was a good season, it's still over. But there's still better days ahead. You may be on a roller coaster in some ways, but the better day, the Bible says that the path of the righteous burns brighter and brighter to the coming of the perfect day. There's a brighter day ahead. We always have to believe that. Somebody told me years ago, and I still hold to this. The moment you believe your best days are behind you is the day you get old. Oldness or aging is not about just time and chronology. It's not just about your trips around the sun, about how many birthdays you have or Christmases you go through. Aging is a product of your belief system. And the problem is, you can be 25 years old, but you believe your best days were when you were a teenager. Because you threw the pass and they caught it for a touchdown and you won the state championship and, you know, the glory days. And you're constantly now 25 years old living in the past. Ridiculous. We've got friends of ours or people that we're friends with on Facebook from our high school class and the previous classes around that graduated with us that when we were in high school, they were, do you know what a parrot head is? Jimmy Buffett fan. And they would go to everything Jimmy Buffett, and they would have keg parties, and I didn't go to any, but you know, I heard about them. Anyway, so, but they would go to this, and they'd sing Cheeseburger in Paradise, and they'd sing all these songs, and they'd get drunk, and they'd do this stuff. Well, I see them on Facebook. Some of our friends just retired to Margaritaville. Like it's an old folks home for parrot heads. It's the one in Daytona. And after years and years of working, they're still wasted away in Margaritaville. And I'm like, did you ever go anywhere? Did you ever try to make somebody else's life better? Or you're still playing the same game we did at 17, 18. Quit crying about the past. It's over. Everybody say it's over. It's over. The past is gone. We honor the good of the past, but we care to honor those who helped us to get where we are. We move forward. Okay? So move forward. You at home? Move forward. Move forward. Number two, God says to Joshua, arise. That just means get up, stand up, get up, wake up, rise up, stay up, pray up, till the devil gives up, is what I used to say. Just get up. Just get up. Just get up and put one foot in front of the other. Number two. Number three, cross over and take all the people across this Jordan with you. Crossing over. We all have seasons where God is requiring us to go from point A to point B. I want you to get from where you've been, not just geographically, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Get up and get moving. Cross over from where you've been to where I want you to be. How many know God has some things he wants you to do? He has some places he wants you to be. He has some influence he wants you to have. But you've got to be willing to get up and then cross over. This is a crossing over year. That's what I believe. We're crossing over. Not some literal boundary. Thank God we already own the land. Thank God we already finished the legacy building. There are more things God wants to do. But we got to be aware that he wants us to cross over mentally, emotionally. Grow up. There's a word for somebody. Don't nudge anybody next to you though, okay? Grow up. Take the people across the Jordan. The Jordan looked like an ocean to them. This was an insurmountable obstacle. God said, I'm going to take you across the Jordan. I'm going to take you across. You're going to get there. You're going to cross over. If you ever look at the map, by the way, I've been to Israel twice. If you ever look at the map and how they wandered through the desert and Sinai and all this stuff, you know when they cross over the Jordan, they're actually crossing back over the Jordan. The Jordan River is on the east side of Israel, not the Egypt side. That's why you have the nation Jordan next door, okay? So they wandered so far. They wandered so far east, they missed the promised land. They overshot the runway. And when they crossed the Jordan, look at it. They crossed over from east to west. They were coming from the west in Egypt. Why? Because of disobedience. Because of stubbornness. There's a word for somebody right there too. Stubborn. Now you can nudge them. Anyway, no. You know who it is. Number four, you're going to have to be strong. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God. Be strong. Then number five, be courageous. That's different than strength. Courage means that it's not about fear or no fear. It's about stepping in the midst of fear and taking a step forward into the midst of the danger. Courageous. Be courageous enough to step forward into the midst of what you cannot control. Number six, saturate with the word of God. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall observe to meditate on it day and night. So when you do that, you'll be obedient to it. You'll follow the words and you'll make your way prosperous and be a good success. God says you're going to have success, but you have to have a relationship with the Word of God. Not just read a little, just read a little thing once a day and make yourself feel good. You have to read it to find out what is God communicating to me. What is God trying to do? Many of our new believers, they come in saying, I can't understand the Bible. We say, you give your heart to Jesus. You ask the Holy Spirit for help. He'll tell you what it means. Now all of a sudden, they come in, well, I was reading something, and all of a sudden, something jumped out at me, and a verse kind of hit my heart, and that's God speaking to you. That's God beginning to show you that relationship through his word. Number six, saturate with the word. Number seven, possess the land. Now, the word possess there is a great word in the Hebrew. The word is yaresh. It's like yaresh. It's a strong word. It means literally to seize, inherit, or occupy by driving out the previous tenants. In other words, get the usurpers off your property. Evict the illegal things that try to get into your life. Evict the devil. Evict the demonic spirit. Fill up the open spaces. Fill up the gaps. Claim or reclaim what is yours. That's what occupy means. Now, I think it's really interesting, occupy, because our job, we're talking about business this month. What do they call your job? Your occupation. Your occupation. It's where you go and you fill the space. And they pay you to be there because you use your gifts to do something. This is an incredible leadership training class by God Almighty to Joshua in just Joshua chapter 1. That is so powerful. I hope you'll reread it and reread it and reread it and get it in your spirit. At the end of the day, occupying is about leadership. The Bible says you're the head, not the tail. Joshua's generation had to quit relying on manna and plant crops. build farms, start ranches, tend sheep, raise dairy cattle, and keep bees to create a land flowing with milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey was God's promise. But how many of you know the milk and honey wasn't floating down the Jordan? The milk and honey would flow, but they had to go open some stuff up and think different. Moses' generation, they didn't have to plant any. They didn't have to stay long term in any place. They never stayed more than like a year or two in any place in 40 years. They moved 40 times in 40 years, and it wasn't just on the anniversary every year. But they kept moving 40 times in 40 years. They were mobile. They were moving, always on the move. Now God says, now you're going to take land and it's going to be yours. And by the way, wherever you walk, it's already yours. Now I want to say that prophetically to you, to those of you that are going to work tomorrow. Or you're going, whatever it is you do on a Monday, wherever you walk, God gave you that space. But it's yours by promise. You have to go in there. And I don't mean claim it to like you're trying to squat and take over somebody else's house. I'm talking about you're going in there with an attitude of, I am here for a reason. God has me here for a purpose. And I'm going to fulfill my purpose here. I'm going to do what God called me. I'm going to be a light for him in this space. A land flowing of milk and honey meant, think about that. The manna dried up the day that the crops first came up. They were building a whole new society. It required a whole new mindset on a whole new attitude. It was something completely different. The promised land equals hard work, and here's a word, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship, being industrial, being industrious. Industrious. You ever seen somebody diligent in his work? Industrious, they want to go make a difference wherever they go. That's what God said. Be armed with that make a difference mentality. Be armed with wherever I go, I'm going to make a difference for somebody else. The promised land meant creating new culture. John Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more. Nothing less. Leadership is influence, okay? Leadership is not about your title or your position. It's about your influence. If you're the manager at work, but nobody listens to you, you have a title and you have a function, but you don't have influence. Watch for the people that are influencers. Watch for the people. When I was first a youth pastor in Orlando, I volunteered in Seminole County Schools and Orange County Schools as a volunteer speaker to go do motivational speaking for young people. And that was the beginning of ministry. And so I'd go in there and I did this seminar on the power of words and different things that I would do. And I'd have these presentations. And if I had a class of 20 kids, or 2,000 kids, whenever I came in, while I was speaking, I had to be looking to find out who the influences were. Because there was always one kid, one smarmy looking know-it-all, that didn't even have to say a word, but everybody would be looking at that person to see what their reaction was to what I was saying. So I had to go after that person without saying it. And when I did, if I could win that person, the whole room was mine. It's a great training exercise. It's the same at your job. There are people there, and I won't call them smarmy or snarky. You might do that. But you know who the influencers are. You know, and it's not even always the loudest. Sometimes the loudest is actually so obnoxious they don't have any influence. But a lot of times it's just people with that quiet leadership. And sometimes the leadership is twisted, not for good. Understand, Leadership is influence. We say around here, but there is no influence without credibility, and there's no credibility without fruitfulness. People don't care what you think or what you know or what you think you know unless they see fruitfulness out of your life. They see fruit. They see something. The single biggest key to fruitfulness is simply, we say around here, abiding in the vine. John chapter 15, walking in step with the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I read something brilliant, and then I'm going to go on to the vision portion. I read something brilliant recently. The fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22 isn't a command to be more loving or more peaceful or more kind or more self-controlled. The only command in Galatians 5 is verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Abide in the vine. This person wrote, we're called to bear fruit more than produce fruit. Producing is about striving. Bearing is about abiding. Listen to this. An apple tree doesn't stress itself into growing apples. It just stays rooted in the good soil, takes in the sunlight, draws the moisture, and in time the fruit naturally grows. Being planted in the house of the Lord, it's the same for us. When you plant your life, if you just abide in the vine, it's not about, oh, I've got to be more loving. Well, you naturally become more loving if you're rooted in Jesus. If your roots are down deep in the Lord. Grace means we don't force fruit to grow by sheer willpower. We stay connected to the source. We walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Of course, following Jesus does take work, but we don't work for God's love or approval or for righteousness. We work from it. What we're rooted in determines the fruit we bear. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. The word there, abide, is dwell. Live connected. Finally, this, I'll kind of shift gears a little bit. We want to, for the 35th anniversary, what I want to do for Vision Sunday, the first thing is I want to honor God for what he did in 2024. Because when I look around, I'm still amazed. The legacy building, we got in there in November of 23, but last year this time, we didn't have any furniture, fixtures, or equipment. And now it's all beautifully decorated, I think you'll agree. It looks great in there. I mean, the furnishings, everything, praise God, no debt, all paid for, all done. And we're just, yeah, give him glory on that. We settled in our new preschool classrooms, opened our Legacy Cafe in September. The profits go to Heart Smile Foundation. Opened our Now Crew Lounge for volunteers. Back in that same time frame, we have the Now Crew Lounge for volunteers between Sunday services while they're serving. It's been a great thing. Our awesome team has done a large-scale renewal of our original building. The finishing product was this carpet that you're on today. Is it my imagination, or does it feel a little more padded, a little more? It's a little more comfortable. I don't know if we didn't have any padding under the old stuff, or if we just wore it out for 20 years. I don't know. All PL having everybody dance around, we just smashed it down. I don't know. But this whole building, the painting, the wainscoting, the nursery, new carpet in the nursery, it's all been updated, all renovated. Created our first ever utility room. We have a washer and dryer for the kids' sheets and things that we have to clean. People have to take that home, do whatever they had to do. We have a utility room now where old kitchen used to be. That's amazing stuff. Brand new security system, the courtyard, AstroTurf and outdoor lighting, a new accounting office, upgraded video control room for our live stream that goes around the world. All paid for in cash because of faithful givers like you. I just want to honor God. I mean, this has been a tremendous thing. Would you just join me? Just put your hands together and honor the Lord. Father, we're just so grateful. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. We give you praise. So what are we about this year with that word occupy? Where are we going? What are we trying to do? Folks, we are a life-giving church. If you feel a difference in this church and other places where you've been, I hope you feel a positive difference. And I think many of you do. The difference, part of the difference is we're a life-giving church. We're not focused on building religion. We're focused on our mission statement, which is over here on the wall, building a relevant, creative church, empowering people to reach others. That's the synthesized mission and reason for our existence as a church. Our emphasis for 2025 is body life, people helping people. And I want to qualify that. Body life is a sacred trust. That doesn't mean everybody gets to do what they want when they want to. It's not a free-for-all of everybody saying, you know, for one thing, okay, we don't allow instruments coming in the room unless you had to show up with the band and practice. So we're not a tambourine shofar church. Some churches, they don't think the Spirit of God can move unless they blow a ram's horn. I'm saying shofar, show good. We've had a few show up, by the way, over the years. To me, the shofar is somebody driving you to the airport. But anyway, it's a little fun. Anyway, understand that people, let me just say this. Disruptors do not get to hijack our services. And that should make you feel secure, not insecure, okay? Whatever spirit you allow to have place in the room will take the attention. We only allow the Holy Spirit, okay? And so we want the Holy Spirit to flow. We want that expression. But that's why there's not a lot of weirdness here. And if there is, we try to say, look, the Holy Spirit's not weird, okay? And one of the great principles is this. The Holy Spirit never interrupts himself, okay? Focus on Jesus. In body life, focus on Jesus and have some discernment, please. The Bible says, test the spirits to see if they're of God. Don't let somebody give you a parking lot prophecy. The word says in 1 Corinthians 14, if somebody has a word, let them do it before the elders. They have to do it with a witness. It has to be judged. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. So don't, you know, the freedom to minister is not wacky or weird. I love Proverbs 4:25 from the Message. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Almost done. Never mistake kindness and compassion for weakness. God is merciful and compassionate, but he's also holy. Don't forget, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace and divine order. There's a fresh emphasis this year on discipleship. Make disciples, not just converts, is what the word says. The goal is life transformation, not just eternal destination. We believe in heaven. Heaven is real. But Jesus said we're to pray for heaven to come to earth, not for us to just die and go to heaven. Jesus said, you want to pray like this? Pray this way. Let your kingdom and your will be
done.
Where?
On earth.
As it is. Okay, so stop trying to get out of here or focus on that part and do what you're called to do now. You can't possess land if all you're looking to is in the sweet by and by. It's already purchased for us, okay? It's already done. Someone once said, destiny is the awareness and pursuit of your next steps. Our next steps are exciting and multifaceted. The word for this year about occupy is grow through community. Meaningful connection through real relationships. I just read an article yesterday on the internet. It said, why America is rejecting relationships. And what a stupid headline. America is not rejecting relationships. Only stupid people are. Okay? Meaningful connections. There's always room for you. Here's what we're going to do department by department. And our now kids, our wonderful children's ministry. We have new playground equipment just been delivered. Is going to be built in the next couple of weeks to get rid of some of the old redundant stuff. We're replacing the aging equipment for safety reasons. We're hoping to enlarge our playground. Now, there's a little peninsula out here where we used to have a modular building for the preschool that we now have in the legacy building. We're going to try to fence that all in. What we're hearing is with the greater numbers of children, they need places to run, not just places to pray. And all the parents said,
amen.
There you go. So we're going to try to enlarge the playground there, give them some space to run around. We're going to have new lighting and sound renovation for the hub, the children's area down at the other end of this building. That technology is almost 20 years old, which is from the Jurassic stage era. So we're getting that done over the next few months as well. Thanks to all our children's workers, our pastors Tristan and Kristen Kennedy. We appreciate you. We're announcing also Easter Sunday. We are going to do April 20th. We're planning our next helicopter candy drop. Once again, it's coming back. So that's a big, big deal. Children and youth also, mark this on your calendar, June 1st. We call it Family Gathering Sunday, brand new thing we're doing this year, honoring all graduates and grade promotions. New sixth graders will move into now youth and leave children's ministry. Graduates will be honored. It's going to be a really special day on June the 1st, and the young people are going to do the whole service. It's going to be great. Now youth. There's a new discipleship class starting once a month. Now that we have the building over here in the what we call the family room, the youth are going to have their own once a month discipleship class on a Sunday morning while you're at church. We've never been able to have Sunday school type of things before because we didn't have the facilities. So now you're going to have your own discipleship class. They're teaching the Alpha for Youth, Alpha system for youth. It's a great, great discipleship system. Young people are going to love it. That's starting, I think, toward the beginning of March. So that's coming. That'll be announced. New spaces mean more opportunities. Now, is now young adults. Danny and Jessica Kelsey are moving into hosting monthly activities to build meaningful relationships. And then every few months, our young adults are going to have their own service with praise and worship. It's going to be fantastic. We're looking forward to that. And so that is out of high school all the way up to, you know, mid-30s or so. That begins with Dave and Buster's Gainesville. The young adults are going to have Saturday afternoon, I think March 1st. It's not this 7th. The 8th, okay, March the 8th. Sorry, March the 8th, they're going to have, if you are between the ages of 18 and 18, it's not a hard, fast rule, but if you know if you're a young adult, raise your hand. If you're a young adult, raise your hand. Between 18 and 35, 36. Yeah, Bill. My friend Bill Young over here, he thinks because his last name is Young that he's eternally young. And I understand that. That's okay. So raise your hand again if you're a young adult. Okay, young adults, we've got an activity coming up. It's going to be kind of an icebreaker up at Dave and Buster's. You'll have more details coming, but please sign up for that. You can start signing up today. That's going to be a fun activity. New group activities for couples 40 to 54. Paul and Gail Chalk are going to help us with a new ministry. They're going to have two activities this year, one in the spring, one in the fall, and that's for couples 40 to 54. That's coming up. Are now 55 and overs, another gathering later in the year that my wife and I will host, even though we're not qualified to be there yet. Anyway, now, I'm a faith preacher. Anyway, now worship, Pastor Lindsay and the team. Pastor Lindsay is going to do, I was glad he did Restore today, because that was a great song. He did Restore. I'll tell you more about that another time. It's too big of a testimony, but very, very powerful. He's going to do some of his greatest hits from the last 35 years. He's written some amazing songs that have gone around the world that you don't know he wrote. The Great I Am and some of these songs, phenomenal songs. So he's going to be reprising some of those and some of our favorites. So we're excited about that. And we're announcing another praise party this summer, the last Friday night of June. PL's going to do another praise party. We may or may not record new things. We don't know. We're not trying to do that. But we're going to do a great praise party at the end of June. And the wide release of the one we did last year called Anchor is still coming out. Wide release on all the platforms in the next couple of months. Okay? Now missions. Romania is coming in September with Pastor Ted and Mona Lisa Ciciui, Salem Church. And if you're interested, we have a little short window open for you to sign up for that. They already did an introduction last week. Women's ministry, various get-togethers throughout the year. But coming up, February 27th and 28th, we're having Pastor Gail's hosting a watch party for Pastor Sharon Kelly's Devoted Conference. She usually goes to that, but this year she's going to stay here and host a watch party where you get to watch it, ladies, in this room, on the screen, and be part of the conference. So don't miss signing up for that. Bringing International Conference to Now Church in Ocala. Free registration, register today. Men's ministry, MVP, what can I say? Pastor Chris is amazing, and there is there's all kinds of stuff going on with the men's ministry. So finally, this year is about occupying. Everybody say occupy. Occupy. It's about invading. It's about taking new spiritual ground and advancing in the kingdom of God one person at a time, one place at a time. That's important. Let's pray together as we close. Father, thank you for your promises. We thank you, Lord, the vision is so big we almost don't have time to tell it all. But after 35 years, we're not running short of vision. You're giving us new vision. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you for raising up people who will be carriers of the vision. I pray for a fresh touch of God on every person for their job this month. I pray there's a special touch on people that are retired but still living their lives actively, that you'll utilize their lives to touch other people and to be influencers of other influencers. Lord, raise up that invading, occupying mentality and change us, God. Help us to go forward with favor. In Jesus' name. And Lord, most of all, I pray that every person would know Jesus, would experience you, would discover you, would get to know you and connect with you in a real and a dynamic way. I plead with you right now. Don't wait till you're at rock bottom before you cry out for Jesus. All you have to do is be real and sincere and say, if you're real, Jesus, I want to know for myself. Show me your love. Show me who you are. Show me your grace. Some people have a hard time just believing that they're even worthy of love. But I'm telling you right now, He loves you so much. Not because of what you've done, in spite of what you've done. And He loves you. He loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. He wants you to grow. Lean into Him. Surrender today. Give Him your heart. Call upon the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Salvation, sozo, changed, set free from the inside out. In Jesus' name. Do it now. Do it now. You don't have to wait. Jesus, I need you. Come now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You received that word today? I know it's a lot of housekeeping. You're hearing other departments that are not yours, but that's part of it. We're one body and we're many parts. And so we have to celebrate that once a year and kind of keep all the parts moving together as one. I would say it this way. The Vision Sunday is like, it's like the State of the Union. The state of Now Church is healthy, strong, and moving forward with new mindsets and new expectations by the grace of God. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,